Hey guys, welcome to episode 7 of Riotcast. Over the weekend I've had my nephew and my house has been a war zone. I ended up watching the fights pretty much all today, which is Sunday. And I didn't get to watch them live, but I will say that I feel like with ESPN Plus as an app, it's awesome and it's definitely worth the $5 a month. I don't regret paying it ever. Whereas 10 bucks for Fight Pass always felt a little steep to me. I know that 10 bucks, isn't really that much, but when you factor in the fact that not only do I pay rent and all the normal bills that people have, I also, have to pay my gym membership fee and all of that, which is like 200 bucks a month. So 10 bucks does all of a sudden become significantly more important than it was. So I feel like the $5 a month for ESPN Plus is very worth it with all the content I get. Where I feel they've been dropping the ball and dropping it hard is UFC on ESPN 2 was the fight card last night. And because I have ESPN Plus, I feel I should get access to those fights. And then like the Donald Cerrone fight that I think he main evented the first one on ESPN. It's been a few months, so forgive me if I'm wrong, but there was the first ESPN fight card, never mind, was main evented by Henry Cejudo and TJ Dillashaw. I am remembering this correctly now. But you could only watch Donald Cerrone was like the ESPN on the ESPN channel main event, and he fought Alexander something, I think. Alexander Hernandez. But that fight I was actually more excited for than Henry Cejudo versus TJ Dillashaw. But because I didn't have ESPN, because I'll be honest, I'm a little poor, don't pay for cable. I didn't get to watch it, but I'm paying for this premium subscription. So when they put on fights and they say, all the fights here, but I can't watch the fights that were on the ESPN channel live, and people who have cable, it's free for them. So me paying for this premium app, I feel I should have access to it. And because I don't, that's the only time I've really questioned my subscription. I'm like, well, I can't watch the fights, and I'm literally paying for this app so I can watch the fights live, so I can do my podcast, and I love watching the fights. So I feel like they've been really dropping the ball there. And then they're trying to, sorry to start this podcast off negative, but this has been bugging me since yesterday. They're going to switch all the pay-per-views over to where you have to buy them through ESPN Plus. So that means you might have to pay, $5.99 or $4.99 a month, and then pay extra to get the pay-per-views. Now, pay-per-views are usually 60 bucks, so they better drop that price down. And I don't mean to $55, so you're paying the same thing. I think that if you have to have this app or this website, I hope they don't do this, because a lot of times I buy the pay-per-views off my PS4 from the PlayStation store, although you can get the ESPN app on your PlayStation and Xbox. So I mean, there is that. But I think that if you had to go through ESPN, it would really limit sales, because my uncle, for example, he buys every fight too, and he buys them from Dish Direct or whatever, so they might take that option away from him. So if you have to pay $5.99 or $4.99, sorry, and pay for this app and use this app to buy pay-per-views, I honestly don't think they could charge much over 30 bucks without losing a significant amount of pay-per-view buys. I think they're gonna really impact their business model. And I could be wrong, because I am not, I don't run a business or anything, so I'm just kind of someone rambling right now, a fan rambling, but I just don't think that that's good for business. And I could be crazy. I just can't imagine that's ever good for business to limit where people can buy your product and then charge potentially more. What if it was $65 because you're paying that monthly fee now? That would be ridiculous. I think the best thing they could do is actually drop the price of pay-per-views. I think a lot more people would buy it then, and that's because And that's because right now, you know, $60 is a lot of money. If you're like me and you got a budget, you don't make a shit ton of money. $60 is a lot of money. And so what a lot of people do, especially because the fans of the UFC these days are, you know, I think their main demographic's like 18 to 30 something. And that's a pretty big gap, but like the younger the person watching the fights is, the more tech savvy they are. And like, I'm fairly tech savvy, but I don't stream the fights because as a fighter, I'm like, they deserve every penny they earn. And I don't want to ever deprive them of even a single penny because I know that, like, you know, a lot of people think with fighters, they're like, I had a teacher tell me this when I was in school because of the Floyd Mayweather versus Manny Pacquiao fight. And then there was some other boxing match way before that. I was in like elementary school, middle school. And the teacher's like, I want to tell you guys something because we were all arguing over who won the fight. And I can't even remember what fight it was now, but it was a boxing match. And the teacher's like, I just want to tell everyone something. He's like, anyone who makes, you know, $3 million for 15 minutes in the ring or 30 minutes in the ring, no one loses that. And a lot of people think that way, but the reality of being a fighter is okay, let's say, for example, I've been paid to fight for, you know, 6 minutes or more or less, you know. I'm trying to break this down with, because I don't really pay attention to what fighters, I mean, I pay attention, but like, I don't like go out of my way to look up what fighters are paid. So for example, let's say you do a 3 5-minute round fight in MMA and it's professional. The beginning contracts for the UFC, I believe, also for Bellator, are 10,000 to show up and make weight and 10,000 to win. So half your paycheck depends on you winning, which I think is ridiculous. I think that you should be paid your whole purse. That'd be like if you made $900 a paycheck and I was like, I'm gonna give you 450 this week because I felt like you weren't on your A game. That doesn't make sense. And you know, I mean, I guess that would make you do your job better, but like as far as fighting goes, that doesn't add any motivation because you've got the motivation of not wanting to get your ass kicked. You've got the motivation of not wanting to be embarrassed. You've got the motivation of needing to win this fight in order to make actual money in this business. And the motivation of like, you can't do this job till you're in your 60s. You have to, you know, make money and get out. So there's already so much pressure. I don't think, you know, saying, oh, you lose, here's half your paycheck is ever acceptable. Now, again, my teacher said, you know, and I've heard other people say it throughout life a million times. They're like, anyone who makes, let's say you made $3 million, 3 5-minute round fight. And I know that would never happen. It'd be like a 5-minute fight or five round fight. But just for example, let's say you get $1 million a round. And people are like, there's no loser, you know, there is a loser, and he's not making as much as you, or he's making, you know, if you lose and you make that, the winner's making like twice as much as you. He's gonna make 6 million for 3 rounds. And while if you break it down that way, yeah, there's no loser. But what people don't understand is that you're not just in that ring for those 15 minutes or the cage for 15 minutes or, you know, however long you're in there, even if you're an amateur fighter. You are training your ass off for months. You're not seeing your wife, your friends, or anyone. I mean, you'll see them, but you're training so much. You're not really spending time with people. You're working your ass off. And if you're not, you're getting half your paycheck. Like, if you're spending time with people and stuff and having fun, like, you're probably going to get half your paycheck. It takes so much dedication. I mean, you're putting in like several hours a day. And you know, if you work full time, you're probably still putting in 3 hours a day after work every day. And then on your days off, you're putting in work. So that's at like a low level. At a high level, every single day you're doing like 2-a-days, and if you're not, you're getting half your paycheck. So, you know, people are putting in basically full-time work when they're in the UFC and, you know, high-level boxers. It's basically a full-time job, and even probably more in the long run because, you know, you're doing so much. But so you're like, it's like it would be like having a full-time job and then only getting paid the full amount if you win. So that'd be like if I made you work an 80-hour pay period, you know, if you get paid biweekly. So I've had you work 80 hours, and I'm like, even though you've done all this work, now you need to do this extra thing. And if you don't do this extra thing satisfactorily, I'm going to give you half your check. So fighters, again, basically a full-time job, because you, if you're especially at that level. So at my level, there's a little bit more leniency. You're training like 3 hours after work every day. Sometimes more, sometimes less, it's not as critical. I'm fighting another amateur fighter who's also working a full-time job and trying to train and stuff. While I take it super seriously, most people train less than me in the amateurs. And when you're at that level though, it's like I've got a teammate who's going pro on April 6th, and like she does 3 hours every single day. And she's still holding down a job because she's turning pro. She doesn't make very much money yet. And so let's say you're at a high level though, so you're not working. You're training basically like a full-time job, but your full-time job is getting punched in the face in practice 2-3 times a week. You're wrestling and fucking up your knees and your toes and this and that, and then you're weightlifting. And then you got to run and wrestle and jujitsu, and then there's so much you have to do that by time you get in the ring, they cut. Like I've had coaches tell me this all the time. They're like, "This is the easy part. This is the fun part." Because imagine, just sit back for a second. I mean, close your eyes if you need to, because I'm gonna paint a picture. You wake up first thing in the morning, and you probably do some push-ups, or you go downstairs, you drink a shit ton of water, you take a bunch of supplements, and then you get in your car and you drive to the gym while your family's still asleep, everyone's still asleep, no one's even at work yet. And you put in work. And for some people, that's gonna be a boxing class first thing. The schedule is gonna change. So now you're at a gym. And let's say you go running first thing in the morning. You're doing cardio. So maybe you're on a bike. You're working your ass off for like an hour. And then, you have some downtime. So you go back home, maybe eat some breakfast. Now you're going back to the gym. And now you're hitting pads until you're physically and mentally just kind of exhausted. Now you're doing thai kick, like the thai pads. You're kicking thai pads. And then now you're doing some wrestling drills, and this is over the course of probably like 2 hours. You're doing, you'll probably do like a striking class and a grappling class, and you're working mitts and you're working grappling, and then you have to get in there with let's say you weigh 150 pounds. You're sparring guys that weigh like 170, 180 pounds, and some guys your size too, but bigger guys. And at least 2-3 times a week, you have to spar these guys. And even if it's a gym that's, one of the smarter gyms and they don't, spar super hard, you're getting hit in the face and you're taking damage. And that damage is going to take from your career. It's going to give you brain damage. Even if it's super slight and insignificant, you're getting some level of head trauma. And I mean, it can change who you are as a person. You can forget who you are, where you are, if you get too much of that. So you've got the pressure of this, and now you finish this training and you wake up in the morning and you do it again, or maybe you do even more training than that. Like maybe today you have to do cardio, weightlifting, and do, your boxing class and your jiu-jitsu class and your wrestling class, I'm an amateur fighter, and if I get Fridays off, I try to be in the gym. Like I try to take 4 or 5 classes. That's 4 or 5 hours. So it's crazy. The amount of work they put in by time they get to the fight and the amount of damage they put on their body, they've taken years off their MMA career. Whereas like if they were just getting in the ring and fighting, they'd have, people would have like 60 fights instead of, having like 30 pro fights and retiring. They put so much damage on their body. They put so much work in. And like, yeah, being at your job probably sucks. Crunching numbers into a computer all day sucks and it's boring. But it's not running sprints where a second feels like an hour. It's super hard work, and they're tearing up their knees, they're tearing up their bodies. So by time they get in the ring, that's the easy part. Now imagine doing all this work for like 3-4 months. Every day you're just physically exhausted. You're in pain every day. You lay in bed and you're like, like it hurts. Now imagine after all this work, they're like, okay, you need to weigh 100 and, for example, for me, it's easier because I'm amateur. So for pro, I mean, it's, I think a lighter example would be Tyron Woodley is a heavier example. He was the 170-pound champ for a long time. He walks around like 200 pounds, maybe a little over. He fights at 170 pounds. So that means you cut off all the fat, all the bullshit. You've got abs, you're shredded. You're as thin as you can be, right? No, because now what you're going to do is start dehydrating yourself. You're going to water load. You're going to drink a shit ton of water at first, and then you're not going to drink water, and you're not eating salt. You're on a super strict diet this whole time, this whole camp, because you had to get down to a certain weight so you can cut water weight. So now your head hurts, you're dehydrated. There's been points, and I don't cut very much weight, where there's no saliva in my mouth, like at all. And so I'll like swish water and spit it because you can't drink it, just so my mouth isn't completely dry. So imagine cutting 20, 30 pounds, which is insane. I would say an average is probably about 15 pounds, and even that's insane. Cutting, for example, I cut 5 pounds on average. I walk around about 140 and I fight at 135. Cutting that 5 pounds, because by the time I'm down to 140, I'm pretty thin. There's not much, there's no body fat left to take off. Now I'm cutting water weight. And by the time I get down there, it's painful. So imagine trying to cut 15 pounds. Like they're in baths, and like sometimes the fights get called off because they have to go to the hospital because they're almost dying trying to make this weight. So now they've almost killed themselves after putting in all this work and doing all this damage to their bodies. And now they're getting in a cage or a ring with a bad motherfucker just like them. And they're throwing down to entertain you. And both of them are trying their hardest to win. Both of them have done so much. Both of them have risked their, have given up probably years of their lives from the damage they took just in sparring to get to this fight, and are now doing, taking more damage for your entertainment while they're still dehydrated, even though they've had 24 hours to recover. And because one of them, wins and one of them loses, even though they both tried their hardest and they both put in so much work, one of them gets half their paycheck. And I'm sorry to start this podcast off so negatively, but if you don't think that's fucked up, I don't know what to tell you. That's so messed up. Again, that'd be like if, let's say you fucking take phone calls and you work for a bank. And so, one phone call ends and the next one begins, and you answer just as many calls as the next guy. But because your boss thinks he likes the way the other guy answered calls better than you, you get half your check and he gets twice as much as you. It's fucked up. That would be fucked up. And sometimes he makes the wrong decision, or sometimes he makes a biased decision. I mean, literally sometimes there's been fights every card, and I've talked about it, where I'm like, this fighter smoked this fighter and lost. So he got half his paycheck even though he won the fight. And now his record says that he lost to this guy that he just beat the shit out of. It's so, I think that they should be paid the same, win or lose, because there is no such thing as motive. Fighters are motivated to not get their ass whooped every time they step in there. It's so nerve-wracking, and I think it's so fucked up. People lose half their checks. And in a fight like Justin Gaethje versus Edson Barboza, it was a great fight. Both guys were fighting their asses off. And because Barboza got knocked out, he's getting paid half his paycheck. And I just think it's wrong. And he just had a kid too, I think. It's really, really screwed up, I think. But sorry to start this off so negatively, but someone said that to me. They're like, oh, no one really loses when, you get paid this much and fight only this long. Because I was like, as an amateur, you put in so much work just to get in there. As a pro, you put in like 70 times that. It's way harder than anything. You really have to love the sport to be pro in it. And so someone was like, oh, no one loses when you get paid that much. And like I was breaking it down to him, and it's really not that much money. And on top of that, like it's so messed up, someone could get paid half their check. So I'm going to move into my fight breakdowns now. Sorry to be a negative Nilly, but I had to go off about it. So bear with me here. I'm going to pull those up right now. So I'm going to change things up just slightly. I am going to dive right into my UFC on ESPN2 breakdown and go over some of my picks. Although, if I'm being honest, guys, I'm gonna start like circling, printing off a picture of the fight card, and then circling who I picked, because half the time I forget. Nah, I'm pulling it up, the early prelims. Unfortunately, this actually, I mean, it kind of hurts my heart. Rayborg lost, so I mean, huge congratulations to Casey Kinney, but I was really hoping Rayborg would win because I mean, I just went on a tangent about it, and I'm not gonna bring it back up because I was getting a little heated, and I apologize. I'm trying not to be like bitchy on my podcast, but I'm very passionate about fighting. So Rayborg's son has been in the hospital, and I believe Brendan Schaub helped pay his son's medical bills and all that. But like, being a fighter does not pay well. So I had recorded a bunch of awesome stuff for you guys, and now it's important for me to tell you that I would not let Anchor sponsor this podcast if I wasn't a fan of them, and this is not an ad read. They've made it possible for me to even have a podcast, and you know, I figured out on my own how to like get better audio quality and better this and that, but like because of Anchor, it's been really easy for me to podcast and distribute it places. And then you guys sharing it with your buddies or whatever is how I get more listens, and that's what makes this podcast bigger. But I do like Anchor, but it does have issues, and I'm not gonna pretend like it doesn't. Like sometimes it'll just decide while I'm recording, for example, you have to record in 5 minute segments, and so I'm recording a segment, and I think that you're gonna hear the gap. I'm putting this in between the gap to fill some of the space that I lost. About a minute into my recording, it stops recording, but it doesn't tell me that it's not recording. Like it still acts like it's recording, and it just quit recording for like 2.5 minutes. And then for the last, you know, minute or whatever I did of that segment, it decided to start re-recording again. I'm not sure what that issue is about, and I'm sure they'll resolve it. I'm actually gonna send an email because this has happened 3 or 4 times now. And maybe the solution would be to record it elsewhere and import it, because I know that they would let me do that. So hopefully if I email them, they'll email me back. I don't know. I just wanted to explain why there's a couple gaps in this podcast. I do feel bad about that. I do take the quality of this podcast extremely seriously. So please forgive me while, you know, I'm figuring it out. I'm only 7 episodes in now, so I love you guys. Thank you for listening. Back to the episode. This is where I'm at. And so, I mean, being a fighter for, I mean, the juice could be worth the squeeze if you make money off of it, you know, if it's what you love. But if it's not what you love, don't do it. So moving on, Kevin Holland beat Gerald Meerschaert. I don't think I picked on this fight. He won by decision. Kevin Aguilar won over Enrique Barzola by, again, decision. And then I did pick Ross Pearson, I'm pretty sure. I could be wrong. I'm almost positive I picked Ross Pearson. I don't think I picked Desmond Green. If I picked Desmond Green, good on me. I win. But win the game of picking. But he got a KO in round one. KO, TKO. But Mariana Rodriguez beat Jessica Aguilar. I think I might have picked Mariana. Again, I don't remember exactly who I picked. I'm going to start writing it down. I do apologize. She won by decision. So a lot of decisions on these cards. I try not to pick too many decisions because I think it's more entertaining for you guys when I pick a finish and stuff. Because it would be safe to just be like decision every fight, because most likely that's what's going to happen when you have two of the best fighters in the world step into a cage with each other. Oftentimes, you know, two high level fighters are gonna kind of know each other's tricks, and no one's gonna get knocked out because they're both too smart to take the risks to get knocked out. And I'm not saying getting knocked out means that you're not a great fighter, or that they made a mistake necessarily, just that, you know, they got caught sometimes. But it's not uncommon for two of the world's best fighters to get in there and like have a chess battle. So I would say it'd be super easy for me to be like, oh, decision everything. So I try to pick finishes because I think it's more entertaining and it's not as safe to pick finishes as it is to say decision. I mean, odds are when you've got two of the best fighters in the world, no one's going to get knocked out or choked out. Anyways, moving on. Sadiq Yusuf won over Shaymin Moraes. And again, I apologize. I have no memory of who I picked. It's that drain damage I'm telling you guys about. Paul Craig beat Kennedy. I'm not going to try to say that last name out of respect for the fighter. he won by decision and round or submission in round three. Sorry, I was looking at this Sadiq Yusuf result. Now, I do remember picking Michelle Waterson. I picked by her to win by decision, even though I thought Carolina had a huge shot of winning this fight. Michelle Waterson ended up winning by decision instead of submission, and I think I picked round two submission. She won by decision. Huge shout out to Michelle Waterson. Moving forward, Josh Emmett, I did pick to get a KO, TKO, I believe. And he got it in round three. I forgot what round I picked, but that did come to fruition over Michael Johnson. I believe I picked David Branch over Jack Hermanson, but Jack Hermanson got a submission in the first round, so was wrong there. And then I'm Edson Barboza. Obviously, you guys saw this most likely if you're listening to my podcast, but Edson Barboza got knocked out in the very first round by Justin Gaethje. But like this fight was, I wish it had gone longer because I was so entertained. But I had said that, if Edson Barboza uses his striking, he's got every opportunity to win this fight by TKO. And they both got wicked leg kicks. I said that, and I mean they just traded leg kicks. It was kind of awesome. But I did say if Edson Barboza gets dragged into that brawling range where Justin Gaethje, excels, or if Justin Gaethje were to wrestle, because a lot of people don't know it, but Justin Gaethje can wrestle his ass off. I said if Edson Barboza gets in that brawling range, he's probably going to get knocked out. But if he sticks to what he knows how to do, which is high level striking, not that Justin Gaethje's striking's not high level, but it's not the same. He brawls, whereas like a striker, is gonna aim, like as Israel Adesanya says, they're gonna aim and fire. They're not gonna hope and throw. And I feel like when he Edson Barboza was striking with him, using his movement, using his jab, when he was using his striking, I felt like he was winning the fight, but it was too late because he had already been sucked into that brawl range and taken so much damage. Because, I mean, you'd almost rather have your foot ran over by a semi truck than Justin Gaethje punch you three times. So Edson Barboza did get sucked into that brawl range and took enough damage that by the time he started striking, I felt like he had taken too much damage and it was too late. Even though when he did finally start striking, I felt like he started taking the round back because he was losing the round early on. And then in like the second minute, it looked like he was starting to win. I felt like he was starting to take the fight back in his, he was starting to take the fight and take the round. I felt he could have won the fight if he didn't get knocked out. But again, he stood and brawled and as a result took damage that resulted in him getting knocked out. But when he started striking, he was slipping punches and landing punches and not, hitting and not getting hit, which is the name of the striking end of the game. And he, I believe, got caught with a hook when he was circling out and just got knocked out. Awesome fight. Love Justin Gaethje. Love Edson Barboza. I wish the fight had gone longer only because I was enjoying it so much that, when it ended, I was like, oh man, that sucks because it was so good. But, huge shout out to both fighters. I'm not trying to rush through anything, but I did go on a tangent, so I'm gonna move on to my picks for the next fight card. So before I move into my picks for the next fight card, I do want to say I don't know how many of my listeners out there, if any, are nerds, but like I'm a total nerd, so I'm gonna preface this with the fact that I have Vans that have Spider-Man on them that I wear on a regular basis. So I'm a huge Spider-Man nerd. And I just watched Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse for like the second or third time, and I still love it. If you have kids, or you like funny movies, or you like Spider-Man, or I mean, if you're not into Spider-Man, I think you would enjoy this movie still. It's animated, so if you don't like, animated stuff, probably maybe not for you, but even then you might enjoy it. Like if you watch like Family Guy and stuff, this isn't, as many jokes as Family Guy, but it is so funny. Like I love this movie, guys. It's like my favorite movie. So if you can get past the fact that it's animated, if you're not into that, or if you're into animated stuff, you'll love it. If you're into funny superhero movies, it's awesome. If you're into superhero movies, I think it's the best. And it's Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, and what it's about is Miles Morales, who is a newer comic arc of Spider-Man, and he's not Peter Parker, obviously, but he's another Spider-Man, and he's got some different abilities. And I thought in the comics he coexisted with, Peter Parker, but in this movie, he's got to coexist with Spider-Man from all different dimensions. So, absolutely recommend you watch this movie. I'm gonna go ahead and go into the fight picks now because that's what this show's about. But I had to give a shout out to Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse for being like the best movie ever. Very funny, very awesome, a little bit heartwarming. So the next fight card is UFC 236. And we got a pretty good fight card here, actually. If I do say so myself. So I'm going to start with one of the fights on the early prelims. I know I almost always do one fight on the early prelims, but it's because I don't pick on fighters I'm not super familiar with, and I don't pretend to be a fight expert, but I am a huge fight enthusiast, y'all. So there's that. Curtis Millender versus Belal Muhammad. I'm going to take Belal Muhammad by decision. Even though Curtis Millender is a bad motherfucker, and I could see this fight going either way, I'm rooting for Belal Muhammad. Moving on into the prelims. Let me see here. I'm not gonna lie, guys. I recognize one person on the prelims, and this is rare for me. This is very rare. I'm shooting my podcast a little different than usual. You guys might have noticed the audio quality's slightly better. The only person I know on the prelims is Wilson Ruiz. Like, I recognize some of the names, but the only one I'd be confident picking on is Wilson Ruiz. But I wouldn't even say I'm confident picking on his fight because I don't know his opponent. So I'm going to move into the main card. I actually genuinely do feel bad about this. But the main card is awesome. So, Ovince St. Preux versus Nikita Kirilov. I'm gonna take Ovince St. Preux TKO. Then we have Alan Joban, who, if you guys don't know, is basically a male model. I think he is like an actual male model. I'm not being weird. He's fighting Beanie Sigel. I'm gonna take Alan Joban decision. Okay, so I love Kalao Roundtree. As soon as I saw him on The Ultimate Fighter, I started following him on social media. He's literally one of my favorite fighters. Arguably in my top 15, maybe top 10. Like I love this guy. He was like 300 pounds and now he's super yoked and he's knocking motherfuckers out. I love him so much. One of my favorite fighters. I am so biased towards him. It is insane. If I ever pick on him, know that I'm being super biased and that you should just tell me to shut up. Point is, he's super fan of Khalil Roundtree. His Instagram is pretty dope, actually. Well, I'm not gonna lie. I'm just a huge fan. But here's the issue. He's fighting Eric Anders. Now, I train at SBG. Eric Anders trains at a different SBG. I believe he's trained primarily by Chris Connolly. I've met Chris Connolly a few times, but Eric Anders is my coach's favorite fighter on the planet. And as a result, he's one of my favorite fighters because he's getting hyped up to me all the time. This is a guy who fought, I believe, Thiago Santos, where he didn't have much time to train for a 5-round fight. And that doesn't sound like a lot if you're not a fighter, but like literally, if I put you in the ring for a minute tomorrow, 3 1-minute rounds, you'd be exhausted. Like you would not believe, because you got to factor in stress and the crowd and, you know, this and that. Eric Anders trains at, I believe, SBG Athens, Georgia. Maybe not Athens, Georgia. Pretty sure he trains in Georgia. Point is, my coach's favorite fighter, he's a fellow SBG goer. Was an NFL player. He fought Thiago Santos on short notice and collapsed, partially because he was getting knocked out, partially because of exhaustion. And then I believe went to Twitter to say, I haven't been this sorry. I got, sorry. I haven't been that tired since my wedding night. So this guy's within my top six fighters, I think. I think he's my sixth favorite fighter. So I am biased as fuck. Here's the issue. He's fighting another guy I love. I actually would prefer not to make a pick on this fight, but for the sake of the show, I'm so biased. Me making a pick doesn't matter. I'm gonna go ahead and skip this one. I love both these fighters so much that one of them has to lose, and that's gonna break my heart because I love both of them so much. But at the same time, I'm gonna be super hyped for the one of them. Because Eric Anders is another SBG guy, if I had to pick, I'm gonna say Eric Anders. Like, I'm never not gonna root for someone. I mean, our slogan's like one tribe, one vibe. Like, I'm never not gonna root for a member of my tribe. So that's man, I'm excited for that fight. So good. I'm not gonna say how I think either of them's gonna win. I love them both. Now, the next fight we have, obviously to me, that fight's like the main event, Eric Anders versus Khalil Roundtree. It might as well be. But now we have my I don't care. I mean, McGregor is like one of my favorite fighters, but I don't count him on my list because he's everyone's favorite fighter. So I would say Israel Adesanya is probably my favorite fighter right now. And he's fighting Kevin Gastelum. So again, bias as fuck. I thought in the Israel Adesanya versus Anderson Silva fight, we saw that Israel Adesanya isn't indestructible. He is a beatable human being. Kevin Gastelum is a bad motherfucker. Like, I think at some point in some time, eventually, he's going to be the world champion at 185. However, I don't think he gets past Israel Adesanya, but I genuinely don't know, guys. I could see him just taking Israel down, but Israel's anti-wrestling is really good. I'm gonna pick Israel Adesanya. I'm sure he's a favorite in this fight, but if Kevin Gastelum wins, I would not even be remotely surprised. He's that bad of a motherfucker. He could win by knockout, decision. I mean, he could take him down and wrestle the shit out of him, TKO him there. But I am going to root for Israel Adesanya. I do think that his striking's elite enough to get it done. This is a fucking fight, guys. Like, yeah, I mean, if you put money down on this fight, you're almost, unless you just got money to spend, like you make good money, you're kind of a madman. This is a tough ass fight to pick. But now, I don't know how to make a drum roll appear on this podcast. So, y'all just make drum roll sounds for me while you're listening. Max Holloway is fighting Dustin Poirier. And I've known about this for a long time, but I didn't say anything about it because, you know, fighters get pulled out of these awesome fights all the time. So, once again, on this MFN card, in case you guys couldn't tell, this is a edit because some people came home and I am weird about recording my podcast in front of people. So I took a break, which I thought would be like an hour, and it's been like three. So I'm sorry, guys.
had like another beer since then, so that's nice. But yeah, my wife went to sleep and she was like, "Oh, come to bed," and I'm like, "Oh, I'll be right there." And there's gonna be hell to pay. I feel like it's like when you break something and you're a kid and your mom's about to come home, you're like, "Oh no." But you know, I get to hang out with her tomorrow, so that'll be fun. But yeah, anyways, I was saying Max Holloway versus Dustin Poirier, they were like two of my favorite fighters of all time. And again, I don't know who's gonna win that fight. I would say that the favorite must be Max Holloway. Like, I can't imagine it not being. Although I take that back because Dustin Poirier's beat Max Holloway before, but that was a young Max Holloway before Max Holloway was like the nightmare that he currently is. So I don't know, man. It's a tough fight because again, Dustin Poirier won at one point, but like I feel like it's almost like the almost like if Conor McGregor were to fight him again, I would imagine Max might have some answers for him instead of, you know, losing, because Max was like 20 something when he lost, you know? I don't know his exact age, but he was young. Like a UFC champion who's 30 would be kind of young, but someone who's that young is almost unheard of. So I do think that in this rematch, Max Holloway's probably gotta be the favorite, probably gonna win. Probably by decision though, because they're both so good at striking. That's a really tough fight to call. And again, Max Holloway being probably my third favorite fighter, Dustin Poirier being like top 10 still. Man, I don't know. That's a really tough fight to call. Like, I'm glad I don't have to put money on these because Dustin Poirier is 24-5, and Max Holloway is 20-3. One of Dustin Poirier's wins being over Max Holloway, but Max Holloway's so different these days, and he's a champ that I just genuinely don't know. Now, I assume it's at 155. I'm actually trying to check right now. At 155, I would say Dustin Poirier's odds are way better than at 145. I feel like at 145, he's super drained. So is Max Holloway, but Dustin Poirier is almost too drained. And so then I would say that Max Holloway's odds go up. But even at 155, I'd say Max Holloway wins this one by probably decision. Although he's so good, I could see something else happening, like a TKO KO. But like, let's be honest, Dustin Poirier's hands are legit as fuck. So whichever way this fight goes, I wouldn't be surprised. Now, Dustin Poirier is only 3 years older than Max Holloway. I did not realize that. And Dustin Poirier's got a win over Max Holloway. But I cannot seem to figure out what weight class they are fighting at. So I'm just going to go ahead and continue. That is all the fights for UFC 236, but it's an amazing card, and man, there's a few fights on there where I don't know how I'm gonna make picks, but I love it. Man, I don't know. The UFC's been kind of coming with heat lately, and I think it's just because they recently got on ESPN. I don't know. There hasn't been a fight card where I was like, "Ooh, that's boring." Really, I mean, I guess the last fight card, except for the main event, was a little boring, but like, honestly, man, it's amazing. Yeah, so I'm gonna take Max Holloway by decision for sure on that fight. All right, well, anyways, guys, I'm gonna go ahead and end this episode, but you can actually support me with I don't know exactly what my code is. I'm not sure how to figure out what my code is for you to send me support from my podcast. But if you do support my podcast, even $1 a month, what that's going to go into is like recording equipment. So some of that's super expensive, like mixers and mics cost so much. everything I make off this podcast is going to go straight back into this podcast. So if I make, you know, $100, $100 of that is going to go into buying like a mic and putting money away from buying a mixer or something. And that's also going to help me, you know, get higher profile guests. Share this with your friends if you can. And if you do want to support my podcast, you know, even if it's just $1 a month, you're changing the quality of this podcast. And as I'm sure you could tell, the quality of this podcast, like audio wise, was like better than it's been, not by a bunch, but definitely like a noticeable amount. That's because I've upgraded equipment, because I've made barely any but some money from this podcast, and I was like, I'm gonna invest in myself and go ahead and splurge a little. If you want to support my podcast, if you email me at Kodiakcan, let me pull it up. I'm pretty sure it's Kodiakcan141, but I'm pulling it up live on air here because I wanted to be real with you guys. Kodiakcan141@gmail.com. So that's KODIAKCAN141@gmail.com. Again, Kodiakcan141@gmail.com. If you even pay $1 a month, you're supporting this podcast. If you share it with your friend, you're supporting this podcast, and everything I make off of it, until, you know, I'm making any kind of money, is going to go straight into paying for the equipment it takes to upgrade this podcast so it's better. So you guys even listening is hugely appreciated. I really do love you guys. I wouldn't do it if I, you know, didn't care about the community that actually listens to this podcast. So thank you guys. And if you can even spare $1 a month, I would super appreciate it. And if you can't and you just listen, I love you too, like just as much. So thank you guys. This is going to be episode 7 of my podcast. I know I said there'd be a bonus episode last week, and there wasn't. I'm going to try and correct that wrong. I had a guest that just couldn't come on when we were originally going to have the episode. So I'll have them on, and then hopefully have another guest episode, not this week, but next week maybe, as soon as I can, honestly. So I'm thinking Tyler James, who did this already, and then another guest, which I think you guys will really enjoy. So thank you guys. And again, if you want to support me, send me an email. That's my personal email. So if you got feedback, that works too. Thank you guys. And I'll see you in the next episode.